When the art day gets rough, you just gotta keep on punching. And here's your Thunder Punch Daily with Jersey Drozd.
So tonight I finished editing Saturday Supercast episode 40, which will go live Monday morning. The 17th of November, 2014. Been almost a year since we posted an episode of the Saturday Supercast. Last episode we did was episode 39, obviously, which was a Muppet Family Christmas episode with Dave Roman, Zach Giolongo, Raina Telgemeier, and Ann Drozd. This next one that drops, I won't spoil the subject matter, but it features, once again, Raina Telgemeier, Dave Roman, and Ann Drozd. And it was a long time coming. We actually recorded the episode back in July, the first half of it. And then we recorded the second half like a week later. And then my hard drive crashed, lost the recording. So then Dave and I had to get together to finish the second half of it again. That's the whole thing with doing things digitally. Sometimes you lose files. But I'm grateful that Dave and I found the time to knit it all together and make a full recording out of it. And as I was editing it, there was another problem. So like I was missing one of the audio files, because like as the time I recorded the last episode of Thunder Punch Daily, I said like, oh, I'm about to dive into editing the show. And then I got about halfway through and I realized, oh, I'm missing some stuff here. So then Dave had to get me the stuff that I was missing. And so I wound up putting it together this evening, Sunday evening. I'm going to get to what I did instead, since I couldn't finish editing the show in a minute. But first, some reflections on the Saturday Supercast, because as I was editing it, and it did take a while, because if you've listened to the show before, it's a discussion about cartoons interspersed with clips of the shows as we talk about the different moments of the shows. And finding the spots to put the clips, recording the clips, you know, like grabbing them from whatever source material we can find, whether it's YouTube, whether it's DVDs that we have. It takes a little bit of work putting those shows together, but whenever I do it, I always feel like, gosh, I wish I could do more of this, because it's so much fun to just talk with friends and open up our analytic eyes on things that we've enjoyed as young people and look at it again from the standpoint of adulthood in a loving way, not in, like in a critical way, but also in like this kind of like, framing it up with context of how it felt then versus how it feels now, what we think worked, what we think needed work. And as I've said in other places and in other interviews, you know, it's like talking about this stuff is like a great study tool for working on my own work, looking at the way somebody else did the thing that you enjoyed, and really breaking it down, unboxing it, picking it apart, whatever terminology you want to use, is, it's great intellectual fodder for thinking about how to do your own work. And then on top of it, it's just fun socializing with fellow creatives who love the stuff that you love, right? So I'd love to do more of it. But the trick is finding the time, finding the resources, not just my own bandwidth, but maybe, like, I think I mused aloud in the last one. It's like, man, it'd be really cool if I could, you know, like pay my production assistant, Rachel, to edit the shows for me. Maybe I'll look into that. Maybe I'll look into a way of finding a way to fund such a thing so I could do it more often. I really would like to do more of it. But that's just on the to-do list. Look into that in the future. And then, of course, it would have to figure out what shows we would do, what shows we would talk about and cover. But there's no lack of that. It'd be actually an embarrassment of riches to figure out like where to begin with all of the material out there to discuss. So I didn't finish editing the show yesterday. So what did I do at that time instead? Because I had like all of Saturday, dedicated to working. So I, you know, quickly changed gears and penciled, Boulder and Fleet page 10, which, I'm pretty happy with. I've moved to penciling entirely on the Surface Pro now. I was penciling on the Galaxy Note 10.1 and then transferring those pencils over to Clip Studio Paint on the Surface Pro, but it was just adding another step. So it turns out I'm using the Surface Pro 10.1 less and less in recent weeks as I move all of my production entirely over to the Surface Pro. Observation about the Surface Pro, the screen is a little small. I mean, it's 10 inches at 16:9 aspect ratio. I don't have the 3, but I'm thinking about it. I'm thinking about, like, if I land a sufficient gig in the next couple months, you know, if the resources are there, maybe upgrade to that, because, man, that thing is so snappy and so powerful, and it's so great drawing on a screen. It's so great to have a Cintiq, basically, that I can carry around with me everywhere I want to go, that I could just use that as my full-on production machine. It's actually got better graphics processing than my old 2009 iMac. Old 2009 doesn't seem like that long ago, but I guess in computer years, it's a long time. But and then the only other thing I did this weekend that I thought I could bring into the show for observation is I went to a movie. I actually made time to go to the movies because I went and saw Big Hero 6, which I won't spoil. I'm not going to go into the plot or anything. And as a matter of fact, I'm probably going to wind up doing some kind of a recording with Dave Roman about it because he and I both enjoyed it quite a bit. Just like we've done in the past with some of the Muppet movies. You know, we do like a special audio-only episode of Comics Are Great. Why do it? Because it's a way for us to both get together and talk about, you know, talk about the film the way you do with friends, but then also make something out of it, make a thing that's like an artifact that other people can enjoy and share. If we're going to do the talking anyway, might as well, you know, just grab a recording of it and see what other people think. Big thoughts on it? Gosh, it seemed to hit all of the chi points or the chakra points for me, you know, in terms of heroes who look for the more difficult route in finding a nonviolent solution to a problem, heroes who use their brains rather than some kind of gift of power to solve a problem. None of this might makes right stuff that you find in some heroic journey stories of like, well, we just got to beat up the bad guy. That's all. A lot of the story revolves around using intelligence and in ingenuity and both in terms of how they achieve their quote unquote superpowers, but also in terms of how they solve the problems of the story. And the designs were amazing. The action scenes were amazing. And, you know, I jotted down a few notes on things I'm going to have to talk about with Dave about, like, in terms of, like, well, this was a weird part. But for the most part, man, I really, really enjoyed it. Just a gorgeous movie with a lot of heart and a lot of great things that I look for in superhero stories, for me personally. I don't know if it's going to be for everybody, but the big one for me that I've becoming, and this is, I guess, where I can get to like one of those, what's it called? More personal, vulnerable, you know, open things about, you know, like sharing something that's a little bit more personal to me, is in recent years, I found myself having less and less of a taste for movies or stories with a lot of physical and or gun violence. But especially violence portrayed as being the best way to solve the problem. And I've jokingly amongst friends been saying, like, I blame He-Man for this. I was actually, while I was working this week, I was watching some old Transformers shows, and there's an episode called Fight or Flee where the Decepticons come across this planet called Paradron filled with Autobot colonists who have established a utopian society where they live harmoniously with no violence whatsoever. They're a planet of pacifist robots. And the Decepticons show up and they're like, this is perfect, right? You know, these wimps offer no resistance whatsoever. So they start bullying the heck out of everybody. And so you got this great setup for a story about bullying and how do you deal with it. And then, of course, Rodimus and the Autobots show up. And it turns into this conflict between the Decepticons and Rodimus's Autobots and these pacifist Autobots. And the pacifist Autobots don't want to fight. They're like, well, we don't believe in fighting. That's not our way. And at one point in the story, Rodimus kind of shouts. And let me say as an aside, I do love Rodimus a lot. But this is the one episode where I was like, oh, I'm a little bit let down by this. I wish they could have done it another way. Because Rodimus kind of just yells at them. Is like, we don't have time for this. Either fight or flee. Hence the title of the episode. And some of the Peridron Autobots team up with them and say, well, we have to do it after all. And then in the ensuing battle, the planet Peridron is destroyed. And as they're all leaving on the Autobot ship, the Peridron Autobots are all watching out the window. And they're like, oh, our planet was as beautiful in death as it was in life. And Rodimus just kind of says, like, very callously, is like, hey, no need to get so worked up about it. Cybertron's better anyway. As if to say, like, sorry, your house got blown up, but my house is better anyway. Come live with me. Not very conciliatory. But as I was watching it, I was like, boy, wouldn't it have been nice if they would have found a way, like, if the Peridrons were to correct Rodimus and show that in some situations, or rather, it's always worthwhile to pursue the nonviolent path. And maybe there's a way to get the Decepticons to leave their planet alone through some nonviolent means. Not through Gandhi nonviolent protest, because it doesn't work in the context of this action story. Although maybe it could. Maybe you could find a way to do it. But finding some way to make the planet not desirable to the Decepticons, or maybe find a peaceful way to constantly foul up the Decepticons' energy harvesting strategy, so that it's too frustrating to keep messing with these guys. And there's easier fruit to pluck someplace else, right? Make it not worth their while or something. There's got to be a way to do it. And I mean, this goes back to discussions I've had with like guys like Dan Mishkin and Dean Tripp on the Comics Are Great show. Is like, heroes find a way, and it felt a little bit like a missed opportunity to me that they didn't try to do that. Granted, it's kids show from the 80s, 21 minutes, is meant to advertise toys. I get all that. But it was also about, you know, making entertainment that's good for kids. Oh, and it was of its time. Yes, Reagan America, you know, we got to beat up the commies and everything. I get that too. But shows like He-Man, and this is why I was saying like He-Man kind of wrecked me in this way. Shows like He-Man were always about trying to find the peaceful solution. And it was a little, you know, it was disappointing on a couple levels for me to revisit a show that I love and an episode that I remember loving and feeling a little disappointed. I was disappointed by my disappointment. But anyway, this is all to say that one of the things I loved about Big Hero 6 is that while it doesn't play the pacifist card loudly, there are very strong elements that show that being a hero isn't about beating up or killing the bad guy. It's about helping people. That's what being a hero is. And that part does come through crystal clear. And I think that was what made me walk away feeling like I feel entertained and pleased by what I just spent my money on. So week ahead, oh man, I've got workshops this week coming up. So tomorrow I've got a dry run of my new character design workshop in conjunction with the Neutral Zone character design / video game workshop that I'm participating in. Tuesday is the actual full-on workshop event that I'll be doing with them. So, you know, dress rehearsal Monday, first real production of the workshop on Tuesday, got RoboForce pages to color, and then, you know, Thursday and Friday, I got Graphic Novel Academy again, and I'm sure I'll have observations on that. And I will be updating the show every day next week, because this Thunder Punch Daily is part of the Art Sound Off Challenge at artsoundoff.com, where Rob Stenzinger of interactive-storyteller.com and I are challenging ourselves to do a daily audio reflection on what we're working on for the month of November 2014. And if you follow the Art Sound Off hashtag on Twitter, you can see there's a whole bunch of other visual storytellers who are playing along and sharing some of their own observations as well. So who am I? Jersey Droz, cartoonist and teaching artist. ComicsAreGreat.com, BoulderAndFleet.com. By the way, new Boulder and Fleet page will be dropping by the time you're probably listening to this. You can go to BoulderAndFleet.com to see what happens next as Boulder and Fleet enjoy cake and have a picnic. And surely some trouble is coming in a comic with a title that's Adventurers for Hire, right? The voiceover you heard at the top of this episode was by Tara Platt of bugbotpress.com. The music was by my brother Elliot Drozd of elliottdrozd.com. And the audio hosting for the show, if you're listening in a podcatcher, was by Kablam, K-A-B-L-A-M.com, the one-stop printing solution for the independent comics publisher. And I'll be back tomorrow with another Thunder Punch Daily. And until then, remember, everybody.
Sometimes movies and television adventure series like this one make it seem as though shooting a gun, fighting, and taking chances are fun and exciting things to do. And what's more, the good guys never get hurt. But in real life, people do get hurt, even killed when they fight or use guns. Make-believe can be fun, and there's nothing wrong with imagining great adventures. But never forget that when it's the real thing, someone can get hurt. Even the good guys. Even you.